The Human Rights Council has requested us to engage with the African Union, particularly as the AU is one of the guarantors of the peace agreement, but also under the agreement, it has a specific role in the establishment of the Truth Commission, as well as the hybrid court. And of course, in its own right, the African Union has been accompanying the situation in South Sudan for years now, since before the independence of the country. So our conversations with them relate to the general transition in South Sudan, but also the very specific role that is envisaged for the African Union to assist in the transitional justice processes.
Since the completion of the Obasanjo report that gave vivid, picture of what happened after the 2013 violence, there were some benchmarks, there were some recommendations that needed to be met. And one of the key recommendation was an establishment of sort of a hybrid court to bring perpetrators of crimes to book. This hybrid court has not been established, and it has become a ping-pong game between African Union and the government of South Sudan. If you ask the government of South Sudan, when are you establishing the hybrid court, they will say, oh, it's the African Union to take the lead. If you ask the African Union, they will tell you it is South Sudan to take the lead. What is your say in this stalemate?
This is an issue that has concerned our commission since the establishment in 2016, that no entity appears to be taking full responsibility for the establishment of the court. In our view, the African Union can do more, and the government of South Sudan too should extend its cooperation to the commission so that they sit down and agree on the details. And most of the work has been done. There is already a draft statute of the hybrid court. What is left is simply the framing of the appropriate legislation. There is a requirement for the African Union to provide broad guidelines. Those are not very difficult to prepare. The two sides know very well what needs to be done to establish the court. So we believe that this is something on which both the AU and the government of South Sudan could move quite quickly. And it is important because, since you referenced the Obasanjo report, one of the recommendations in the report is that there should be a holistic response to the violations in South Sudan. This means that no single measure or mechanism should be implemented without the other. For example, the Truth Commission will need to hear from victims and survivors and record their experiences and also begin to make recommendations for how there should be a response of reparations. The reparation authority, therefore, needs to be up and running so that it can effectively do exactly that, respond to the collective and individual harms that have been occasioned by the violence in South Sudan, among others.
You are dealing with an institution, the African Union, which is not known for really solving African problems. I mean, I would give you examples of conflicts around the continent where the African Union is tiptoeing around some of the issues there. And this is simply because African Union is premised on non-interference principles, meaning if Uganda is on fire, Kenya should not interfere, or vice versa. Or if South Sudan is having its own problems, Sudan should not interfere. And here is an institution charged with the responsibility of seeing justice administered in South Sudan. How do you see that mixture of interest impacting on the search for peace?
In fact, it may be necessary to come to the defense of the African Union a little bit, because in 2002, when the African Union emerged from the previous Organization for African Unity, one of the things that is different about the African Union is that it moved away from the principle of non-interference to a principle of non-indifference. So under the Constitutive Act, the African Union is supposed to respond where there are circumstances of grave violations and serious crimes, including international crimes and genocide. I think it is with that in mind, in fact, that the Obasanjo report that you referenced earlier came about. The African Union sent a high-level commission to inquire into what happened. They documented it, and they have recommended, among others, the establishment of the Truth Commission and the hybrid court. I think that is also very much in part thanks to the work of that commission. But the test now is to bring it to the conclusion of what started with the Obasanjo report to assist in establishing a hybrid court, to also assist South Sudan in assuring that the ongoing violations, which our commission continues to document, begin to be prevented. So I agree with you that sometimes the African Union has been deficient in responding effectively to these crises, but that is not because of their mandate. Those may be deficiencies because of lack of resources or lack of will to confront member states.
Yes, and from Addis Ababa, I'm reliably informed that your next destination is Juba, and you're landing in Juba at a time when President Kiir yielded to some of the pressure from the international community, and specifically from the Human Rights Commission that has been asking him to sign into laws some of these pending bills that could pave way for the, you know, administration of justice in South Sudan. What key message are you carrying to Juba?
I have to say that we're not coming to Juba immediately. Our commission, all three members of our commission, hope to visit Juba before we make our next report to the Human Rights Council in March. So we will visit Juba early in the year, and we're hoping that when we do so, progress would have been made in the establishment of both the Truth Commission and the Reparation Authority, and that work would have continued on what needs to be done to establish the hybrid court. What we can say now, though, is that these are significant steps in passing the legislation, but now the government needs to proceed efficiently and effectively to make sure, for example, that the commissioners for the Truth Commission begin to be selected, as well as the members for the Reparation Authority, in a process which is transparent and which continues to involve citizens and that people of the right caliber and qualifications and competences